Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is taken from our second lesson, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. A friend of a friend was in the market for a refrigerator. She wasn't married to any particular name, brand, or style, or color. The refrigerator had to have only one thing, an ice cube and water dispenser. And so she did her research. She bargain shopped to find the best price, and then finally she came home with the refrigerator of her dreams, complete with the all-important ice cube and water dispenser. And life was great until the next morning. When she got up the next morning, getting ready for work, and she went to fill up her water bottle for the day, she noticed that there were ice cubes all over the floor. Flummoxed, she cleaned up the mess and she filled up her bottle without any issues and she put it out of her mind. When she got home from work, she checked the kitchen and lo and behold, there were ice cubes all over the floor. Now she was upset. She'd spent all of this time and energy researching and trying to find the best refrigerator, and she hasn't had it even more than a day, and it's already malfunctioning. So immediately she got on the phone, and she called the service manager at the store, and she explained that her refrigerator was just ejecting ice cubes out of control, and she demanded that somebody come over and fix it immediately. And so they sent the service repairman over, and he checked the fridge from top to bottom. He couldn't find anything wrong, and he watched the ice machine for half an hour and no random ice ejections. He tried it himself, and he was able to start and stop the ice exactly when he wanted. And so the lady was satisfied, and she let the repairman go home, and she put it out of her mind. Well, when she woke up the next morning, she checked the kitchen, and sure enough, there's ice cubes all over the floor, and now she's worried. Is my fridge possessed? She's wondering. And so she calls the service manager again and tells him what's happening, and this time the service manager decides to take matters into his own hands. He's going to come himself. And so he's going to stay there and he's going to figure out the problem no matter how long it takes. And so he watched. And he watched. And he watched for over an hour until suddenly he found the problem. Everyone loves a good mystery, don't they? The suspense, the twists, the turns all captivate our attention. And a good mystery practically leaves us begging to know what happens next. And perhaps that's the best part of the mystery, isn't it? The resolution. As mundane as my little story was, you're still dying to know what was wrong with the refrigerator, aren't you? Perhaps you're feeling a little frustrated that the mystery hasn't been resolved. And isn't that the thing with mysteries? We all love a good mystery as long as it has a resolution. We all love a good mystery as long as we're not part of it. Just imagine if you were that friend of a friend in my little story, but instead of a balky refrigerator, your mystery was a matter of life and death. Imagine how you'd feel if the doctors knew something was wrong, but they couldn't tell you what it was. You'd be more than frustrated, wouldn't you? Imagine if you were left in the dark. You had no answers about what happens when you die. Imagine that you knew there was a God out there and that you were supposed to please Him, but you had no idea how. Imagine that you knew you were in desperate need of saving, but had no idea where that salvation was coming from. Welcome to the reality for most of our world. Their entire life is an unsolved mystery. How frustrating that must be. We know the secrets. We've been given the answers to all of life's mysteries, and the answer is always the same. It's always found in Christ. But as Paul correctly says here in his letter to the Ephesians, the truth about Christ is a mystery. It's not a mystery in the sense that it's murky or vague or somehow hard to understand. No, the mystery of Christ is something that needs to be revealed. It needs to be explained. Much like the debate over whether the world was flat or round, the mystery of Christ is something that needs to be discovered or illumined. The only problem is that we could never discover this mystery on our own. Thankfully, we don't have to. For God comes to us with the answers. Epiphany is that time where God pulls back the curtain and reveals the mystery of Christ. Paul says, this mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. It shouldn't be a surprise for us that mystery is the key word in our verses this morning. In fact, Paul uses that same word 20 times in the New Testament, 6 times in his letter to the Ephesians, and 4 of those 6 times in our verses for this morning. Now, a cursory glance at that word mystery might lead us to believe that the mystery that God wants us to know is simply that the Gentiles are part of his plan of salvation, that he wants them to be saved. And that's partially true because for many people, that was a mystery. The Jews did not consider the Gentiles to be part of God's people. In fact, they considered themselves above the Gentiles, that they had a higher status. But if the Old Testament reader had read carefully, it should have been very clear to him that the Gentiles were always part of God's plan of salvation. Time and time again in his promise of the Messiah, God promised that all peoples, all nations would be blessed through his Savior, through his Messiah. And even more direct are passages like we've already read this morning in our first lesson from Isaiah. Nations will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look up, look all around and see. All of them have been gathered. They are coming to you. Your sons will come from far away. Clearly, these nations and these kings are not Jews. The wise men are a fulfillment of that prophecy. And yet many, including Jesus' disciples, didn't grasp that part of the mystery. So although that's part of the mystery, that the Gentiles we're going to be saved, that's not the biggest shock that we see here. Well, there's a bigger part of the mystery that Paul shocks us with this morning. He says that mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who share in the promise through the gospel. Do you see the grand revelation here? For so long, God had kept Jew and Gentile separate. It was by his design. God had set up his laws and his ceremonies around Israel like that protective fence. He did that to protect the promise of the Savior, to keep them separate from the unbelieving world, to keep them devoted to him. But when Christ came, when the promised Christ Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. Every law that God had used to protect his people was foreshadowing what Jesus would do. And when he came and fulfilled all of those laws perfectly, when he gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for sin, when he rose from the grave, proving that every law had been kept, that the sacrifice had been given and was acceptable, Jesus broke down the barrier between God and man, between Jew and Gentile. And so now Paul says the Gentiles are fellow heirs. members of the same body, people who share in the same promise. They are spiritual equals. And that was shocking to both Jew and Gentile. So shocking that Paul needed to emphasize exactly what he means. And so in the Greek, we see three terms that essentially mean the same thing. And Paul ties them together with a similar prefix. And so the best way maybe to understand that is to slightly translate it different in English. And it may go something like this. The Gentiles are co-heirs with Israel, co-members of one body, and co-sharers in the promise. Now just think about what that would have meant to Paul's original, primarily Gentile Ephesian audience. All of life's mysteries that had haunted them in the deep recesses of their consciousness were now solved. And the answer was the same. In Christ. In Christ they were saved. In Christ they were members of God's family and could please Him as His children. In Christ, they had a spiritual inheritance in heaven waiting for them when they died. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel proclaimed. God so loves the whole world, including them. Just think of what that message would mean for our world today. See, it wasn't just the Gentiles at Paul's time who were living their lives with great mysteries unsolved. There are people that we meet every day who have no idea what's going to happen to them when they die, who have no idea how to please a God they know is out there. Imagine the impact that these truths would have for them. But there's a second part of this great epiphany revelation that we need to look at this morning. Paul says, to me, even though I am very least of all the saints, was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about the administration of this mystery. In past ages, the mystery remained hidden in God who created all things. He did this so that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in the heavenly places might now be made known to the rulers and authorities. This was done according to the eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul would have been the last person that anyone would have picked to be this apostle to the Gentiles, to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And yet it was God's will that Paul have that privilege and that passion. You see, Paul was an awful lot like the Gentiles. Even though in many ways he was a polar opposite, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Jew of the Jews, Paul was just as much in the dark about this mystery as the Gentiles were. And so when it was revealed to Paul, once Paul had been brought out of the darkness into the light of the gospel, he could relate so very well to the plight of the Gentiles. He could appreciate what the Gentiles were going through. He could appreciate what salvation in Christ meant to those who were sitting in darkness. That God would ever choose to save anyone is a mystery that no man could ever contrive, and no one and anyone in all creation could ever come up with. Only God could make this known to us. Only God's chosen servants could receive this grace and that privilege to share it. That's the grace that Paul received. And guess what? So have you. He did this so that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in the heavenly places might now be made known. God did this so that through the church, through you, God's wisdom would be made known. You see, God could have written all this in the stars, how He saved the world. He could have sent angels to proclaim this good news like He did with the shepherds. God could have given every single person an inborn knowledge of the gospel, but he did none of those things. He chose to make the mystery of Christ, this multifaceted wisdom of God, known through the church. And notice Paul doesn't say through the pastor or through the councilman or through the outreach committee. He says through the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body, the part that you and I are all members of. Every single member of the church has this personal privilege of making the mystery known. Because we know the secrets. We know the mystery. We know that God has sent his son Jesus for all people. And God has given us the tools to share that mystery. He's given us his multifaceted wisdom. There's just so many layers to God's word that we learn more and more each and every time we study it. And God has given us pictures and illustrations that we can apply to people no matter where they are in this life, so that they can relate, so that they can understand. God has made the mystery known, and we have the privilege of sharing it. So you still want to know how the ice cubes got on the floor, don't you? The problem was the lady's German shepherd who stood up and pushed the button so that he could eat the ice cubes. Feel better now? Just like we don't like mysteries that have no resolution, we don't like mysteries that involve us. We've been given the opportunity to solve the mystery for so many people. And we're not spoiling the story for them. But we're taking away their frustration. And we're giving them the best news ever. Why in the world God would want to save any of us is a mystery in and of itself. But he does. And he has. And he's given us the privilege of sharing that truth. And on this celebration of Epiphany, on this revelation of this mystery, like the wise men, we not only see God's glory, but we can be part of it. And God, help us to proclaim this mystery for Jesus' sake. Amen.